Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you. With a positive mind. First program of the year. I'm bringing it to you pre-recorded. I actually made this program for you on New Year's Eve because I am going to be hanging out with a bunch of kids. But anyway, today I wanted to bring you in some idea about the new year, and let's talk about the new year. Here we are at the top of a new year, another symbolic time to start new things for yourself. Here's the big question. Let's talk about change. What change do you want to make in your personality from now on? Now, this is always a big question about New Year's resolutions. Of course, it's hogwash, but it does bring intention to mind. So you might look at intention, whether or not it starts today or not. Look at intention. Here's the big question. What change would you like to make in your personality? In your personality, would you like to be less angry? Would you like to be more loving? Would you like to be less trusting? Would you like to be more generous? What would you like to be? In other words, what it is about you that you would like to improve? Do you want to be more giving? Would you like to be more organized? How about more artistic? How about this? You know of yourself as being a nag. Would you like to stop nagging your mate? This goes for men and women. Stop nagging. You know, stop complaining. Funny thing about couples, you know, people on their own very rarely do as much damage as people who are in couples do, because when you have somebody right there, you have a personality that sometimes goes off kilter, and when it goes off kilter, you could just be shouting in the mirror and it kind of disappears. But when suddenly you have somebody who's very present, you say something mean or malicious or just blurt it out, and then they react to it, and then you react to their reaction, and they react to your reaction to their reaction, and it becomes real. How would you like to have better control over your blurts? You know? Or maybe you're a whiner. Maybe you're a complainer. Maybe you're an acher. I was studying with a group of people about pain. And they were talking about one of the things about pain is if you're living in pain and you have a consistent pain, they tell you not to ache or moan. Don't do things that are what they call pain behaviors. So if you're in pain, don't complain. Interesting concept. Whining is a part of that. Now, whining is something that you may do with, whining is something that's just another form of complaining. And, you know, that kind of negative thing. Or maybe you hide your emotions. Maybe the whole idea is for you to be able to show what you feel instead of hiding it all the time. Or maybe you're a pleaser and you want to stop pleasing so much, or an exploiter. And maybe you just want to be a little less exploitive. And I can give you a good example of this is petty theft. There's a lot of people who feel justified in doing petty theft. You'd be amazed at the difference. I knew a man who came to treatment, and his part of his treatment was he really couldn't get his act together in life. So what I found out about him is he came in from New Jersey. He had a way of scoffing the tolls. He had a way of getting through the New Jersey tolls without ever paying anything. He never threw the money in. And this was at a time when he was throwing, I think it was 15 cents a toll at the time, or 35 cents. But he had a way of getting around it and never sending in the money. And so every time he came into New York, he kind of didn't pay the toll. And he found little ways of cheating on just about everything. Part of the treatment for him was to pay for everything for a month. Pay for everything, don't skimp on anything, pay for everything, give everybody the tip they deserved, give everybody their just due, and whether or not they truly deserved it, give them what they do, what they're due. And he did that. And it really turned his life around. He felt like a fair human. He felt like he wasn't just one of these people in the world who were living at the edge of the world. An interesting concept came up around the new election, too, because here in the election we have a very strong question. Here we want to see a new government, and most people want to support it as much as possible. So one friend said he was going to take on a new discipline, and his new discipline was he wasn't going to cheat the government one bit. He wasn't going to do anything to cut the corners when it came to cheating the government, which means he used to get paid in cash. He's going to be asked to be paid on the record. He's going to declare every penny he earns. He's going to pay his taxes. Now, of course, that will bring up in a lot of people who love to cheat the government. Strangely enough, the ones who love to cheat the government the most are the ones who are having the hardest time in life. So they feel they're justified in cheating the government. But the problem is, if you feel like you have a right to cheat the government, then you're probably somebody who is living like that, you know, and you're living a cheating life. So I'm not saying you shouldn't, of course, but I believe most of the governments I've ever seen should be cheated. But if you're really making up your mind to support this current government that you're seeing, the one that we think may be a dream government, maybe this year what you want to do is say to yourself, I'm going to play it straight the whole way. You know, there's a... Maybe you're somebody, you know, maybe the other things you might want to change. Maybe you're an isolate. Maybe you tend to be isolated. And maybe the change you'd like to make in yourself is to not be so isolated, but instead perhaps to get out there and meet people. And a good way of doing that is to do it through volunteer services, soup kitchens, whatever it is that you could be a part of. But volunteer services put you in contact. Another way to do it is to go to 12-step meetings where it is not mandatory that you speak. You know, you can actually just go to a meeting and just be there while other people are there so you could find a way of being with people. Another personality change that many people want to make is that they're sufferers. They tend to suffer, and they see themselves as always seeing the glass as half empty as opposed to half full. And they'd like to give up their suffering. Come on, somewhere inside where you know there's a part of you that's not the way you'd like it to be. Fess up. Do you get too angry too often? Do you get too depressed for too long a period of time? Do you get too obsessed with one thought over and over again? If you do the same thing over and over, there's an old saying, Buckaroo Banzai once said, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. So let's consider what change might mean. And you've heard me address this a few times in the past, but I'd like to look at it a little different. So this is, in order to do this, we're going to ask the question, what is it about you, about what you do, or the way you think, or the way that you feel, that you would like to change? Now, here's the problem. The problem is, for every change you make, you have to make another change. And I'll give you a good example of this. For example, depression. One of the things that we know about depression is we know that people who are depressed, they tend to hold on to it for dear life. I remember a patient who once came to see me, and we were talking about his depression, and he said to me, my depression is my only friend. And I put a pillow in his arms, and I said, here's a pillow. I said, this is your depression. I said, I want you to hold on to it. I said, because you need it. And I said, you come to me as a therapist and you want me to take away your depression. So I grabbed the pillow with one hand. I said, I'm going to take your depression away. And he said, oh, no, you're not. And I said, oh, yes, I am. And he said, oh, no, you're not. And he held on with it. And he looked at me with a hatred that said, don't you dare try to take this away from me. This is all that I have that's protecting me. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, talking about changes in the year. And so for every change we make, for everything we would like to do, there's a loss. You know, one of the things we do here at the DeMille Center where I work is we test people's thinking style. And when you have people who are high in one attribute, they usually know in a low in a corresponding attribute. To give you an example, many people would like to be more organized. Well, okay, where are you going to get that energy and that time to be more organized? Because, you know, if you're organized, it takes time. So where are you going to take the time from? Well, you're going to take it from your random creativity. So many of you who are randomly creative, would have to give up a little of that to be organized. So instead of doing 10 things at once, you'd have to do one thing at once. And you'd have to let the other 9 pass. Are you ready to do that? So you want to make the change of being more organized, but you don't want to give up any of your creativity, huh? Let's go the other way. Let's say you're somebody who's very, very organized, and you want to be more creative. Well, then that means you're going to have to let go of some of your organization. You're going to have to let loose a little bit. And you'll find most of you will say, oh, no, I want to have additional stuff, but I don't want to lose anything. Very, very interesting. But you see, you can't. You can't. If you're going to give up, if you're going to get something new, you've got to give up something. For example, anger. If you give up your anger, you're going to get sad. Because anger is a cover up for sadness, usually. And so somebody's rage is usually somebody who's very hurt and very sad. If you take away their sadness, if you take away their anger, they become sad. So somebody who's angry is usually very sad underneath. If you have somebody on the other way who's very sad all the time, you're going to have to uncover anger. And you're going to find that underneath their sadness comes this anger. There are many people I know who, whenever they feel angry, they start to cry. Did you ever wonder about that? Why are they crying when they're angry? Because their sadness is hiding their anger. So this is confusing. For some people, anger hides your sadness. For other people, sadness hides your anger. But if you're going to give up one, you have to be ready for the other. And here's the problem with most psychotherapists and most of the people I know who are doing psychotherapy in this world. They don't understand that you're going to lose something for everything you get. And so when they say to you, you know, let's just have you do, you're going to have to relinquish your phobias or relinquish something, they don't estimate where it's going to come from, what you're going to lose. Let's take a look at being alone. Being alone is beautiful, right? Being alone is you're in charge of your own life. You know what's going on. Being alone is fantastic for many people. But they want love in their life. And they want to have love. Now you want to have love in your life, but you still want to be alone. How can you do both, have love and be alone? Very difficult. You're going to be ready to give up some of your aloneness. But let's look at the converse of that. What if you're somebody who loves to love and you're addicted to love? Are you willing to give up settle for the opposite of that, which is give up the love and face your aloneness? This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about some of the changes that you might make. All right, now, so let's go to, let's consider one other thing. You know, in fact, I was thinking today, one of the things that you deserve, and we're talking about changes, is you deserve to have a lighter time today. I wanted to bring you some music, and I dug in one piece of music from the past that I thought would be extraordinary to present to you. And we're going to continue with this conversation, but here's, just to lighten it up a little bit, here is a something I thought would be wonderful for you. So let me give you something from a gem.
For your pleasure, I created a dream. Boundaries. connection beyond anything that you have ever
Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you on New Year's Day here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Talking about making changes, and we're talking about the consequence of making changes. And sparking you in the middle there, maybe catching some people sweeping through the dial, hearing some beautiful 80s music. Fabulous stuff. Hey, listen, you know, we're talking about changes that you might make in your life and what the consequences are for changes. I, as a psychotherapist who has spent many years doing this in treatment, I realize that whenever anybody comes in and wants to give up an addiction, there are going to be consequences. We all know that. You give up smoking, you get fat. You eat a lot, right? You give up drinking, you become impatient and angry. So even smoking, for example, which is a real common one, the other side of smoking is anger. If you ever see anybody who can't stop smoking, it's because they have so much rage inside them that they can't let it go. They're afraid. And you know it. I mean, all you have to do is spend some time with somebody who just gives up smoking, and you're going to be on the receiving end of that aggression and anger. So for everything a person gives up, they usually have to deal or acknowledge that some other part's going to get lost. For example, I talked about love and aloneness. Let's talk about not only love itself, being in love, but questing for love, searching for love. Why do you think people spend so much time on this search? What are they avoiding? They're avoiding an awareness that basically we're all alone. That we really are alone, and there's an existential aloneness that most of us don't want to face because we kind of want this illusion of some kind of a love connection as opposed to an existential connection, which is a much bigger story. So now comes the other thing. How many other things? Maybe you wanted to give up being so secretive about your feelings, right? We'll talk about that. What's the consequence to that? Let's say you begin showing your feelings more. Well, then you have to be more vulnerable. You see, you can't. Most people who don't show their feelings have a wall that's protecting them from the world. If you take down that wall and you let yourself show your feelings, you're going to be vulnerable. And this is one of these classic cases where the man finally says to his wife, I finally showed you my feelings and then you got angry at me for telling you the truth. Well, you see, the real truth of it is I showed you my feelings and I felt vulnerable and I wasn't ready to deal with the consequences of my vulnerability. I wasn't ready that would mean that you could hurt me. But of course it does, because now you could feel the pain. If you're isolated and you don't show your feelings, you can't feel any pain because you're numb. You got a steel wall around you. So part of showing feelings is accepting the pain that comes with it as well. Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. Or what about somebody who feels too much all the time? What about the typical person who's just overloaded with feelings? They're overwhelmed. They're crying all the time. They're upset all the time. They're angry all the time. What would happen if they gave up, now get this, the validation of those emotions as being real and as validating their existence? Because here's the way it works. People who have these deep emotional selves who are crying all the time and angry all the time, that's not normalcy. I mean, no matter what they tell you, oh, look how much in touch with their feelings they are. No, they're not. One of the ways of avoiding feelings is to feel too much. If you feel too much, you don't feel anything at all. I guess it's like in the winter, if you put on too many coats, your body goes numb. You don't feel anything. Maybe that metaphor doesn't work. But it's like people who are the most hysterical, the most histrionic, are not feeling people. People who are attacking other people and yelling at other people, they're not very feeling people because they're at the extremes. A true emotion, a true feeling, is a nuance. It's a small feeling. It's a gentle feeling. It's like sadness. It's a tear. You know, as opposed to something gigantic. So what happens if you give up validating yourself by saying to yourself, I feel, therefore I am? Well, maybe you don't feel. Maybe you're going to feel more vulnerable feelings. Maybe instead of crying, you'll be sad. You'll weep instead of crying. You know? So extremes are another thing that people would like to give up, but in order to do that, they're going to have to deal with the non-extreme feelings. If you're a perennial victim and you would like to, and you know in your own mind that you would like to no longer be a victim, right? You're saying it to yourself over and over again, I've been a victim much too much. We have to face the fact that you play a hand in all that you create, that you are not a child with an ogre parent, which, by the way, all victim-type peoples have had in their history, nasty parents. So if you're somebody who sees yourself as a victim and is always blaming the world and you take that away, the thing you're going to have to see is how you have created your own reality. And it is shocking. I'll give you an example. I know a man who kept himself isolated from women because he would have relationship after relationship with women who were jealous. They would become extremely jealous, and he wouldn't want to be with them because they were extremely jealous. So he said, and then he would go and pick, but he would choose women who never got jealous. And he would meet women who were very secure, very, very secure. And he would say to them, do you get jealous? And they would say, no. And look, you could date anybody you want. You could see anybody you want. I feel secure in myself. You want to be with me? You want to be with me? I don't get jealous. And he would get these people, and he would find them, and they wouldn't be jealous to be with. They would never jealous with anyone else. And then slowly he would turn them into jealous. He would make them jealous. He would show them things that would engender their jealousy. He would stick it right in their nose until they became jealous. And then eventually they became jealous, and he said, aha, you see, what you said is not true. You are jealous. And therefore he'd have a right to get rid of them. But, of course, he created it, and that's the thing about being a victim. Being a victim, you don't see what you create. If you stop being a victim, you start seeing your creation. And listen, so what you created things? So what you're this kind of a frail person? So what you haven't been perfect in your life? So what, my friends? You're just a beautiful human. You're just somebody who's getting by as best you can. And this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. What do we do here? We're trying to help you get by a little better than you did. We're trying to teach you, give you tools, ideas, things that you could work with in your own mind so that you could stop yourself from just following the same path over and over again that doesn't seem to work for you. So, what we want to do is try to see what are the changes that we can make. So here again, you know, if you're an isolate, let's say you're isolated, and you think about not being isolated anymore, you know, one of the things you have to deal with is the danger of disappointment. If you depend on no one, like many isolates do, they never depend on anybody. Now you're going to depend on people, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to let you down. They're not going to let you down. They're just going to, you're going to find a place where they don't meet up to your expectations, because it's impossible to meet everybody's expectations, you know, and they'll disappoint you. Or if you're somebody who's overly organized, you know, you have to accept chaos, a little chaos around you if you want to let go of your organization. I remember we had a woman once who was so organized. And she called in on the radio, and she said, I am so organized, it's driving me crazy. Everything about me is organized. I'm so totally organized. And I asked her how many rolls of toilet paper she had in her bathroom, and she said four. She said she's got the one that's on the spindle, and she says that she's got her three backups in strategic places where they can be reached easily. I asked her to bring the four back to the radio while we were on the radio, which she did. I had her unwrap them, and I had them start throwing. I had her start throwing them all around the house. While she was on the radio with us, she started throwing. And throwing, and then toilet paper, of course, it came off the rolls, and it was everywhere, and it was creating a mess in her perfectly pristine, perfect household. And she started throwing it and unrolling it and unrolling these thousands of sheets of paper and tossing the paper everywhere, and it covered everything. And we listened to her do it, and with it came such a joy, such a freedom, because she was suddenly not being the way she always is. And she created chaos. And she looked at it, and I said, so how do you like it? She said, it's beautiful. It's like being covered with snow. She said, it's so chaotic. She said, I'm going to have to clean it up. And I said, no. Maybe you got to live with it a little bit. Leave it there. See what that's like. Maybe then we could affect a change. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We have, it's WBAI, it is New Year's Day. We are trying to bring you some unusual, beautiful things. And I'm bringing you some unusual music, too. So here's another little thing that I love very much. And we will be back with you in just a little bit. It's Armand DeMille, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. It's all very complicated, isn't it? This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. One day, my friends, one day people will touch and talk, perhaps easily, and loving will be as natural as breathing and as warm as sunlight. And people will untie themselves as a string is unknotted. They'll unfold and yawn and stretch and spread their wings. Unfurl, uncurl like seaweed returning to the sea. And work will be simple and swift as a seagull flying. And play will be casual and quiet like a seagull settling. And the clocks will stop. And no one will wonder or care or notice. And people will smile without reason, even in the winter, even in the rain. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. We've been talking about the consequences of change. And the beauty of this is that everybody says, you know, I'm going to do a New Year's resolution, so I'm going to not do this. Well, if you don't do it, there's got to be a plan on the other side. I mean, if you're not going to stop and have drinks after work and you're not going to drink, what are you going to do? It's like people who give up smoking and they keep drinking coffee. What are you going to do when you drink coffee? How are you going to end a meal if you're a smoker, you know? These kind of plans are what really help a person do things, you know, get through the changes that they would like. Like, for example, if you were trying to control your anger and you wanted to control your anger, you notice many people, what they learn is they learn to meditate. They learn to quiet their brain, but they actually learn an additional tool. So we're talking about the changes that people make. Right? And we've talked about many of the changes. Here's some more changes. If you're somebody who likes to self-sacrifice, you have to deal with the fact that you don't value yourself very much. That's why it's easy to sacrifice. It's very easy to sacrifice yourself if you think yourself is worthless. And people who do self-sacrifice really feel like their self is not worth very much. Of course they could sacrifice it. But then once you start to stop being so self-sacrificial, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're going to feel some value for what's left behind. And that there's a little kid inside there who's been waiting for you, knocking on the inside of your chest, saying, hey, how about me? You know, if you're totally disorganized, one of the things you lose when you get organized is you lose freedom. Oh, my gosh, what a bunch of freedom it is you lose, because disorganized is fabulous. Cleaning up your room is terrible. It's a terrible experience, as we all know. What about nagging? What if you swear you're never going to nag again? Think about that. You're going to have to accept acceptance, reality. Think about it. If you have a mate who has a personal habit of some kind that you like and you nag about it all the time, well, if you stop nagging them, you're going to have to see them as they are, and you're going to have to either live with it or not live with it, but you're not going to change the reality any longer. And I tell you, my friends, it's tough. You might have a dream that you of having a beautiful home the way you think a beautiful home should be. Because you show me someone who keeps yearning for a beautiful home, and you know what? I'll show you somebody who has come from a sterile home, a home sterile of love. So if you give up your yearning for an environment that you've been dreaming about all the time, you're going to have to deal with the fact that the real environment you're looking for is a loving environment, and it's probably right around you at any time. So here's a trick I've learned as a therapist a long time ago. If you have a phobia and you consider getting rid of a phobia, right? Now we're going to do this and I'm going to play it out for you. Let's say you're somebody who has a fear of going out in public or a fear of germs. And I ask you to take this fear. Now, here's one of the ways we treat it. This is called the and then what. Now, and then what is a very interesting thing. If somebody says to you, I have a fear of, and this fear stops me in my life, I have a fear of flying, for example. There's a good one. Okay, so let's say you didn't have a fear of flying. How would that change your life? And the person answers, well, then I would fly. Okay, where would you fly? I would get on a plane and I would fly to other countries. And how would that change your life? Well, I'd go meet new people. And which old people would you leave behind? Well, I'd leave behind my family and my mother and my father. So what happens if you take your trip and you get to the other side? The thing that you leave behind is your mother and your father. So better than leaving your mother and father behind, you'd rather develop a phobia about flying so that you can't leave them behind. And that's it. You'll find that almost every fear or phobia serves some form of dependency. And if you look underneath it, you'll find the dependency. You'll find what it is that the person doesn't want to give up. Everything, every fear, every phobia has some active dependency right underneath it. But that's where you need to have a therapist. You know, that's where you have to have somebody around who understands what they're doing, because it's very hard. It's very hard for you to see yourself, very difficult to see yourself as you are. So today is New Year's Day. I've been giving you some interesting ideas. I'm also bringing you some interesting music. And I'm bringing you the music because on these holidays, I realize there's a very small audience out there. But some of my music that I love playing for you, it's just, I love it. So here's a little more of my gift for you today. Try this on for size.
Solo por tu amor. Thank you.
It's Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. Here's some other ideas on this year, here's a couple of things you could do. Mend a quarrel. Find a quarrel that you have, especially with somebody in your family, and fix it. If you've got to be wrong, but fix it. Seek out a forgotten friend. Try to find somebody you used to be close to and seek them out. See what they're like. You may be disappointed, but give it at least a hunt. 1 out of 10 times that you do it, you wind up with a best friend again. Dismiss suspicion. Try not to be a part of suspicious talk. Try not to be a part of the kind of negativity like gossip. You'll just find this is for you. It's about greed. Manifest your loyalty. There's a big question. Manifest it. Show you are loyal. Now, this especially is true with employees, my friends. If you have somebody who works for you, who does something wrong and has a rough time, if you prove that at that time you're more dedicated to them than you would normally be, than a person would be, you'd be amazed how bonded they get to you in the future. Well, the same with everybody else who goes through a rough time. Don't abandon people during their rough times. You don't have to become a part of their rough times, but don't abandon them. Forgo a grudge, my friends. Find something that you have a grudge about and kind of give it up. Let it go. I remember many, many years ago, somebody who offended me deeply, and people asked me recently, what do you think of him? And they told me the story about him, and I said, gee, you know, I don't even feel anything. I just, oh, poor guy. Poor guy. It's an amazing feeling to be free of it. Weep freely. Meaning that, you know, it's a beautiful thing, the eyes. Because I've always said the tears are the sweat of the heart. When your heart is working, your eyes sweat a little bit. Well, I recently ran into somebody who was having some problems with fibromyalgia. And she didn't cry. And I said, tears are the lubrication of the soul. It's like if you don't weep, you're just missing a major lubricant. And tears are beautiful, just like smiles are beautiful. They all kind of work together. Listen. Listen. Listen another way. Listen in a way not to comment on. Listen in a way that says, I want to hear what you have to say. Without even knowing that you, without even having to respond, listen. Listen closely. Ask questions if you don't understand, but don't challenge. Don't ask questions to challenge. Ask questions to ask questions. Apologize about something that you were wrong about. If you realize you were wrong about something, extend the apology, even if it was a long time ago. Be kinder. Real simple words, aren't they? Be kinder. Be gentler. Have faith. Laugh a little. Laugh a little more. Welcome a stranger into your life. Oppose malice in all forms. Resist prejudice, even though it becomes so inviting at times. Fit to talk about us versus them. Express your gratitude. Take pleasure in beauty. Speak your love. Speak it again. Speak it still once more. Now, these are, of course, some of those beautiful phrases that you hear over and over again. And I don't mean them in a trite way. They're kind of suggestions, things that you could possibly do with your life. Not that you should do. There are no shoulds, my friends. This is just a chance to look at it and say, you know, maybe this year I'll do it a little differently. And you might just choose to. And if you do, well, I welcome you. And if you choose to do the very same stuff you've been doing for the last 45 years or so, well, I'm with you there also. Nothing wrong with repeat business. You just be who you are. Here's another piece of music for you. Theme of that over and over again, you know, I would love to walk hand in hand with you. You know, we do. We do, my friends. You know, we do walk hand in hand. We are, we're all in it together. We've been in it together for so long now. It's, we forget we're not alone. We just forget. So I'd love to walk with you. I'd love to walk with you. And every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 o'clock here on WBAI, I get a chance to walk with each of you through your telephone calls, through your being here, and through your just being present, and the letters that you send afterwards. So I thank you very much. I especially thank you for being with me today during this time, because even though it's a little preachy and I'm giving you some stuff that I believe in, I just think it's fabulous that we could have an opportunity to be with each other. And now, someone once asked me if I had a single favorite piece of music. Well, you know, I guess you're going to hear it, because this is just the best of the best. So, my friends, as you welcome in a new year today, let me give you what I consider to be my very favorite, and I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, A-R-M-A-N-D. I look forward to speaking to you. Oops, wait, we're going to do that over again. Stay with me, my friends. Stay with me. That was just one of my engineering, the first engineering mishap of the year. My fault. Here we go again. My favorite music. There it is. This always makes me weep.
Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. No one stays the same. The young become the old. That's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of. Rain comes from the clouds. Sun lights up the sky. Hummingbirds do fly. When it turns to spring, but never much too soon. But everything must change. The young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. There are none me.
It's 2008.
There are no shortcuts.
Are you kidding me?
And when people review what's taken place in the last 6 months, put it all in one.
There's something going on.
One package. They'll realize how significantly we have moved.
Really?
With the cracking and the thumps, and it hit my car.
Oh, my God.
The carnage left more than 170 people.
Accused of masterminding a $6 billion Ponzi scheme. Madoff was released on bail with certain conditions.
Mastermind of the Mumbai tax, according to
the... Oh, my God.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I only have one question.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Heads up!
It's 2008.
Heads up!
Shortcuts.
Give another one. Another one.
And
another one. Why you all in my ear?
Shortcuts.
Heads up!
Shortcuts.
Hello, welcome to the Dawn, playground for the new power generation. There are over 500 experiences to choose from. Here's a sample.
We are the new power generation, a new power soul for a new power president. With some new boogie grooves coming from the artist we all know and love as Prince. Join us Saturday, January 3rd, 2009 from 7 to 9:30 p.m. That's Saturday, January 3rd, 2009 from 7 to 9:30 p.m. here on WBAI in New York City, 99.5. The dawn of a new day is just around the corner.
Kinda made me laugh. It took me way back.